With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're just a few weeks away from one shining moment. Something else that college basketball has gone back to is using the Luther Vandross version of one shining moment. Some things don't need to be reinvented or rebooted or revived or redone. They just are perfect the way that they are. And I'm so proud of the way CBS did the selection show on Sunday night. 60 seconds, a quick hello, boom, right into the brackets. And so let's hope we get the same thing with the Luther Vandross. Don't be needing to reinvent the wheel. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of you finding us on Facebook and Twitter, joining the After Hours Bracket Challenge, which I didn't actually say to producer Chris he's supposed to be keeping count. But since he already had time to fill out his bracket, I guess he has time to keep track as well. I don't know if we'll get past what we did last year. Last year, we were pretty close to 10 grand. Well, 10 grand sounds like money. We were pretty close. I wish we had 10 grand to give out as a prize. That'd be fun. And then we could skim off the top, just the three of us. That'd be even more fun. I think we're pretty close to 10,000 people who joined us last year, which is awesome. And we would love to have you join the After Hours Bracket Challenge this year. It's okay if you know nothing about the sport or about how to fill out a bracket. The computer pretty much does it for you. You just click on a team and boom, it moves on over to the right or to the left until you're left with just a couple of teams and you just eeny, meeny, miny, moe it. That's what everyone does. Don't let people try to tell you they know what's going to happen because they don't. Otherwise, it would not have earned the nickname March Madness. We are inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook and then 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Some of you sending me your observations about this bracket that we've got so far. And I think one of the things I like about it is that you had movement up until the very last second. So Jerry Palm will join us in studio. He is our resident bracketologist here at CBS. And he had said that he was kind of unsure how some of the decisions might be made based on this new formula called the net. I feel like that was a detective show at some point on TV, but it's called the net. And so the selection committee, this 10-member committee, was using the net for the first time. So Jerry will explain it because he's just the guy to do that. And he's going to join us in studio. He's been busy with CBS Sports Network and with CBS Sports HQ and putting together, I don't even know how many brackets. But I like the fact that the committee chair, Bernard Muir, has indicated, he's the Stanford AD, that things were changing and they were constantly in flux even until the very end. So Michigan State beating Michigan, that was a major factor in the ones and the twos, and specifically the twos we now know. But the committee was also waiting on Tennessee to see whether or not Tennessee would win the SEC. And that could have had an effect on what we saw on the one line, actually. And so to me, to have a bracket that's so much in flux until the very end lends itself very well to a bracket that could be busted after the first couple of days. Because very often these teams are not separated by all that much. Which top seed is the first one to bow out, to trip and fall on the dance floor? Oh, there's so many great analogies that I could use. So many mental pictures that I could give you. Trip and fall flat on their face, bust an ankle on the dance floor. So we've got the four top seeds in a poll, and you can check that out on each of our social media sites. I do want to transition a little bit to football, though I'm looking forward to talking hoops with you. But so much happened in the NFL going back to Friday. I normally try to stay away from tweeting football or tweeting anything sports related on a Friday just because it's my sports free day. Don't get many of those, but I try. However, it was impossible because the Kareem Hunt suspension was handed down. This surprised me a little bit. This is early in the year for the NFL to be handing out discipline. Generally, it's not until the summertime, but I guess the fact that this was their second investigation would lend itself to a quicker decision, and the fact that there was a video. Plus, the league, as well as the Chiefs, already knew that Kareem Hunt had lied. I mean, he admitted that he lied to the Chiefs about what had happened in that hallway in that Cleveland hotel in February. And so he was outed. And there have been a couple of other incidents in which he's been accused. So the NFL had pretty much all the material it needed. I don't really know where the eight came from, except the fact that there were multiple incidents. So remember, the baseline for, now this wasn't your typical domestic violence, but it was violence against a woman. And then there were other altercations, one with a guy, you know, in a bar. And so the fact that there were multiple incidents, I think, contributed to the fact that it's an 8-game suspension. I appreciate that Kareem Hunt is not appealing the 8-game suspension. There's no way to truly know if he's remorseful or if he's only sorry he got caught. I understand that I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But him not appealing and trying to get the NFL to knock it down to, say, 6 games, to me, that goes a long way toward convincing me that not only is he remorseful, but he wants to make changes in his life. Again, there's no way for me to know that. Only time will tell. But I go back to when the Cleveland Browns decided that they would sign him. I told you that right here on the air. I said, you want to prove to me that you're sorry? You want to prove to me that you're remorseful? Well, how about don't appeal when the NFL hands down its suspension, which he's not doing. So I do appreciate that. I know he is no longer the Kansas City Chiefs problem, but man alive, you play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned. And the Chiefs got burned by the Kareem Hunt situation and now potentially going to get burned again by Tyreek Hill. And oh, the timing of all of this. Didn't we just hear last week or the week before that he was in negotiations with the Chiefs for a record contract? And now we find out that he's under investigation for an alleged incident against his son. I can imagine that many of you cringed just reading some of the details. And I know it's only accusations now and nothing's been proven, but there is another investigation involving Hill as well as his fiance, which, for those of you who don't know, she's the one that he pled guilty to choking and punching when she was pregnant back when he was in school. So before the Chiefs got him, he pled guilty to punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend, who is now his fiance. And they've got multiple kids. In fact, at the Pro Bowl, he said she was pregnant with twins. So they got more kids on the way. According to Overland Park authorities, the case has actually been turned over to prosecutors now. They're going to decide whether or not to file charges against Hill. But police were called to his home last Thursday to investigate. Again, there was a juvenile victim, and also Hill's fiance is listed in the police report. And what they're investigating now is child abuse or neglect. But what we'd heard is that his son has a broken arm. Now, it's easy to jump to conclusions about how it happened, about what happened, but that's not fair. And certainly, in a case as serious as this, when it would be another strike against him, I want to tread cautiously, because sometimes accusations that aren't true, especially something like this, where his three-year-old son's arm is broken, it's the kind of thing that can follow you even if it's not true. And so I want to be careful. We'll find out whether or not prosecutors are going to charge him. Right now, again, that's what's happening. They're looking at all of the evidence. They're looking at the police reports, the conversations with the various people involved, and they're deciding whether or not there's enough there to press charges. So, it's scary and it's abhorrent if, in fact, this little boy's arm was broken intentionally or even unintentionally because there was violence in the home. The idea that the Chiefs could potentially get burned by both Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, who, again, they knew had pled guilty. Of course, it was a big deal when he got drafted. They knew he'd pled guilty to domestic violence back when he was in school. Just makes you wonder if other teams will shy away. We've had some incidents, again, from guys who were in college and had checkered past blow up in teams' faces, and then others don't. But man, if I were the Chiefs, I'd be really careful. If you lose two of your top, and this is assuming that something happens with Tyreek Hill, that the NFL takes action. Obviously, the league is now investigating. He wasn't disciplined at all in any way for what happened at Oklahoma State, because it was when he was in school and because he was given 3 years of probation. He went through anger management classes and his conviction was dismissed. So he actually finished that in 2018, and now his record has been expunged. It's like it never happened, except to his girlfriend. And so the Chiefs didn't have to deal with any type of discipline for him. And they decided that after doing their due diligence and speaking to him, interviewing him, they were comfortable bringing him on board. But now there's another investigation. Kareem Hunt is already gone. They lost him for the end of last season. What was it, 5 games plus the postseason? And now this. Again, you play with fire long enough, eventually it singes your eyebrows, or worse, burns up your face. Just, I can only imagine what their front office feels like after hearing this news. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, whether you want to weigh in about the Kareem Hunt suspension. And many of you sent me tweets and sent me Facebook posts over the weekend. Producer Chris had put out the link again to my comments from when he was first signed by the Cleveland Browns. And so a lot of you, I know, went back and listened to that again and haven't changed at all. I mean, the Browns knew that they were likely not going to have him for 6, maybe longer games. And I really do applaud him for not appealing. I'm not sure whether it would have made a difference, but the fact that he's not even trying means something to me. And now the Tyreek Hill situation with the Chiefs. We have tons of quarterback news to get to as well. So the Titans and the Dolphins and maybe the New York Giants are going to eschew drafting a quarterback. I can't with the Giants. What in the world? And also, what are the Dolphins doing? Did they really go from Ryan Tannehill to Ryan Fitzpatrick, or is there another plan in there, for heaven's sakes? So we'll do a little QB news coming up, and then we'll get to your calls. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Friday was a doozy in the NFL. Not only did we get the news of Kareem Hunt's 8-game suspension by the league, but we also had the introduction of Joe Flacco in Denver, and that was postponed, by the way, bad weather. The free agents that the Broncos acquired were supposed to be introduced days before that, but there was snow in the area, so that was stalled until Friday. But also, we found out Ryan Tannehill will play for a second team. He will not spend the 2019 season with the Miami Dolphins, and we were waiting with bated breath to find out what this new Dolphins regime would do. They trade him to the Tennessee Titans. Blaine Gabbert gets released by the Titans, and now Tannehill is the quarterback alongside Marcus Mariota. This was a year in which he was scheduled to make $26 million with the Dolphins if they had kept him on the roster. But of course, he's had a rash of injuries. It's been up and down, up and down, not just for him, but for the Dolphins. And them having to fill that spot. Remember the whole Jay Cutler experiment? Adam Gase actually got fired in Miami because of his commitment to Ryan Tannehill, because he was tenacious in his commitment to Ryan Tannehill. 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in 11 games in 2018. So the Dolphins send him and a 6th round pick in the draft in exchange for a 2020 4th round pick and also a 7th round pick coming up this spring. But what about that dynamic with Mariota? The general manager of the Titans is John Robinson.
You know, I talked to Ryan when we kind of started the process, and he understands that he's coming in as a backup quarterback. I've talked to Marcus and told Marcus he is our starting quarterback. Ryan is here to help Marcus, to push Marcus, to compete with Marcus. And, you know, the one thing after talking with Marcus, he said, you know, one thing, John, that I believe with all my heart is that you try to do what's best for the team and you try to put us in the best position to win football games.
Certainly could be a boost to Marcus Mariota, who himself has been up and down with a bunch of injuries. And it's nice to have a veteran quarterback who's got a lot of starting time right behind him on the roster. So it answers the question of what will happen to Ryan Tannehill in Miami. It does not answer the question of what in the Sam Hill are the Dolphins doing at that position. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Well, here's an answer. Here's one answer. According to multiple reports, they are giving Ryan Fitzpatrick a 2-year contract. All right. $11 million, which is, I mean, that's a bargain basement price for a starting QB. It does contain incentives, though. He could earn between $17 and $20 million. And it sure does look like he's going to be the opening day starter, barring some injuries or unforeseen circumstances. Because unless they would pick up another QB, the Dolphins have Fitzpatrick, Luke Falk, and Jake Rudock. Neither of those last two guys have started an NFL game. And to add to the equation, they've combined for 5 career passing attempts. They've combined. So that, to me, would tell you that Fitzpatrick is supposed to be the starter. But why? Is this really true? They're going to tank for Tua? Is that what's going to happen here? Whoa. Poor Brian Flores, if that's the case, and he's been instructed to tank for Tua. I don't actually believe in tanking, but okay. So Alex Boone on NFL Network, longtime NFL lineman. He actually likes this move.
I like the Ryan Fitzpatrick move. Okay. I think he's a risk taker. I think he's somebody that can go out there. And, you know, the guys like him. They respect him. You see that. He likes to have a little fun with it. I think that's good. But I think it also, like you said, it gives you a chance to sit with Ryan this year and then move next year in the draft. Obviously, they like Tua Tagovailoa. So I think that's going to be something that you could obviously do with this move.
Tagovailoa. But we all know who you're talking about. That's Alex Boone on the NFL Network. We've all butchered the name, too. So you remember what happened last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was starting for Jameis Winston, who was suspended early. And remember, he led them into New Orleans and throws all this Fitzmagic craziness around, his fairy dust, and they end up upsetting the New Orleans Saints before they win 10 straight games. And also the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the first QB in history to throw for 400 yards in 3 straight games and actually led the NFL in the passing yards category over that stretch. And as always happens with Fitzpatrick, the wheels come off in fantastic fashion. He's either up, 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 or he's down, 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 down so low that you can't play Limbo. I mean, he's a roller coaster ride. So I don't get it. Unless they don't want to win. I'll just say it again. Poor Brian Flores. Oh, dear. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. This is a mentality that's completely opposite of what John Elway and the Broncos are trying to do. This has been a Russian roulette of quarterbacks, a revolving door for them. But it's because Elway wants to win now, and he believes Joe Flacco is the answer.
We're confident that, you know, he's the guy that can come in and get this, get us turned around. What we're going to do on the offense, try to run the football, play action, throw the ball downfield. And so Joe's proven he can do that. And it, as I said, at 34 years old, I feel like he's really got a lot more football left in him.
It's one of those stadiums that as soon as you walk into, you just have a really good feel about playing in it. It's got a lot of history behind it. You can kind of feel that, and the fans are just unbelievable. So it's going to be a lot of fun to be on the on this side of it.
Going back to the Baltimore Ravens' stunning victory in overtime before Peyton Manning, before they got back to the Super Bowl, or got to the Super Bowl, I should say, in the Peyton Manning era, they went in and they had just one heck of an upset in the Mile High City. And so Flacco answered questions about that, and all the reporters were ribbing him about the fact that they were there covering that game. Was that 13? 2013? I can't remember now. All the years blend together. So Flacco introduced on Friday, and he says, not thinking about the purple anymore. The Ravens chapter is behind him.
I'm really not trying to think too much about my past and why I'm here. I'm really just trying to be excited for, you know, for the fact that I am here and the offense that we're getting ready to run and the team that we're getting ready to build. You know, I couldn't be more excited about this being, this being the place to make that happen.
And certainly with John Elway there, a guy who who's one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, you know that you have the support. However, if Elway doesn't see this move work out, he might be shown the door at the end of this season. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Tyrod Taylor also has a new home. Both he and Thomas Davis were introduced by the Los Angeles Chargers in the last several days. And what do I tell you a lot? It's about who you know more often than it's about what you know. And in this case, for Taylor, he finds new life in the NFL because of the head coach.
It's a relationship what I have with Coach A. Lynn. Being together in Buffalo as offensive coordinator and interim head coach, had a strong bond, was able to spend a lot of time with him, but also looking at this roster and playing against the Chargers the past 2 years, you see a team that's very close to winning the Super Bowl and want to be of any assist and anything that I can do to help the team achieve that goal, definitely for it.
A 2-year contract worth $11 million for Tyrod Taylor with the Chargers. Although, usually, Philip Rivers is an iron man, but still, it's a good spot for Taylor to land. He's getting paid to be a backup, and he's with a coach that he's had success with and that he really likes. Those kind of connections are priceless in the NFL. Think about Nick Foles in Jacksonville with his former QB coach from Philadelphia, John DeFilippo. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, we'll take your calls, and I also have a bunch of your tweets and your Facebook posts about college hoops, as well as about the Kareem Hunt 8-game suspension, or about your quarterback carousel in the NFL. Dolphins fans, how you feeling about this? No more Ryan Tannehill. Okay, but replace with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that really the best option? I mean, he can be great, but he can also be terrible, let's be honest. So find us on social media and then 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There's the snap, third down and 6. Good protection path down the sideline. Oh, receiver is day. Catch made. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Right over the shoulder to Michael Evans. A great throw on third down by Ryan Fitzpatrick. My goodness, is there anything he can't do today on opening day?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gene Deckerhoff on the Bucks Radio Network. That was some Ryan Fitzmagic, all right. Seriously, it was a stunning start for the New Orleans Saints inside the Superdome, courtesy of the 400-plus yards from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he can be amazing, but he can also blow up in your face. And generally, the amazing doesn't last for an entire season. He teases you. That's the part that's so frustrating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Again, 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Rob, who's in Charlotte. Rob, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, it's been a while since I've talked to you. Last time I talked to you, I think it was about Brian Tannehill. I'm a Dolphins fan.
Oh, okay.
If you remember when I talked to you last.
Oh, no, I don't, but welcome back.
I'm just scratching my head, too, but the only thing I can figure is that they're just trying to – did they save money?
Oh, yeah, they definitely did save money. That would be the number one reason for doing it. Otherwise, if all you're trying to do is just bide your time until you can get, let's say, Tua or Trevor Lawrence in the draft, until you can find a young QB, then you just keep Tannehill. But certainly we knew the owner was done with Tannehill, and that was one of the reasons why he decided it was time for a change with Adam Gase. But also they were going to pay him $26 million. So if you're going to do that, just find somebody cheap.
Yeah. So if they made salary room, that was, I guess, the only reason to do it, you know, because, there's one team in the division that does know Fitzpatrick, and that's going to be the Patriots, since he's played for the Bills and the Jets, and now be us. So
he's making the rounds.
Yeah. But, the only thing I can figure, you know, I mean, they might give it a round this in 19 and then 20 tank for Lawrence, because it'd be the only way.
But that's wasted 2 years. Can't waste 2 years. First of all, there's no guarantee that they could be the worst team in the NFL at that point. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Trevor ends up hurt. I'm not saying I want it to happen, but you just don't know all the things that could play out in the next 2 years. They can't possibly take these next 2 years and just not try to win.
I'll give it an honest try this year with Fitzpatrick in 19 and then 20, because him just coming out, I don't know if you would think Lawrence would try to play at least 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah, no, he has to. That's the NFL rules. Well, I guess it depends on his age, but generally it's 3 years because of the age requirement at 21. I mean, they're definitely saving money, so that's a big part of it. And it's going to take some time for Brian Flores and his staff to put their system in and to find the personnel that they want. And as you point out, Fitzpatrick has spent a lot of time in the AFC East, and so maybe Flores is familiar with him. Although, at this point, what else is there? I mean, there's Blake Bortles. So Ryan Fitzpatrick got a job before Blake Bortles, so that's important, right? It's slim pickings now at this point for veteran QBs.
The other thing is, it's the irony is when they got Tannehill back in 12, there was, you remember the suck for luck that you had when, and they were one of the teams that was in that draw. You know, they did terrible that year, and they just fell to the eighth pick. You know, but they were, you know, there was that talk about that
right
for luck. And it was just, it's funny that they're kind of like looking at the same window now after they drafted Tannehill 6 years ago.
Well, maybe. I mean, as you point out, the idea that there could always be a team that sucks worse than you, I mean, there's no way you can control that for sure. If the Dolphins have thought of it, other teams in the NFL have thought of it too. But 2 years out seems to me that's a little bit crazy.
It's funny because most of the teams have quarterbacks that are you know, looking to the future. You know, I mean, they have drafted fresh quarterbacks. There's very little that don't have some kind of future plan as it is. And now, you know, one of the ones that
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is a major disparity in the NFL between the teams that are starting quarterbacks on their rookie deal. So even if they're not just finished up their rookie year, there's a ton of quarterbacks that are still on their rookie deals. And then you have the opposite, the complete other end of the spectrum, which is the Matt Ryans, the Aaron Rodgers, the Ben Roethlisbergers. Tom Brady's not breaking the bank, but you have the complete other extreme with veteran quarterbacks who at some point in the next several years will really start to see phase out.
Yeah, the Chargers are going to be in that boat. And
oh, Philip Rivers, too, of course. And Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, yeah, it's like feast or famine when it comes to your quarterbacks. There's not a whole lot in the middle.
But we were in that when we had Tannehill.
Right.
But now we don't have anybody.
Yeah.
But
Jake Rudock.
Right. Yeah, who is he?
I mean, yeah. All right, sir. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Listening in Charlotte, 855-212-4227. I don't really get it. I wish I could say that I do get it. But the only part that makes sense is the, hey, we're saving the money, because Tannehill would have earned $26 million. And you're obviously not going to pay that much for Fitzpatrick, though they did sign him to a 2-year deal. Maybe it's just some combination. I'm really thinking about this. I'm chewing over it. Maybe it's some combination of, A, we're saving money, so we can save room under the cap. B, Flores is more familiar with Fitzpatrick, but that's not really a huge boost in my mind. C, you're definitely talking about a bare cupboard when it comes to veteran QBs. Nick Foles was the one that was going to be available via free agency. We saw, obviously, the Broncos trade for Joe Flacco and the Redskins trade for Case Keenum. So those two veterans were accounted for before. They weren't going to be free agents, but you get my point. Blake Bortles is still out there. And even Tyrod Taylor has a job now. So there's really not a whole lot else that you could do. Now, there's a chance the Dolphins pick 13th in this upcoming draft. There's a chance that they could try to package and move up, but there aren't really that many quarterbacks available in this draft. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, the Duke, I forgot his name, the Duke product. Thank you, Daniel Jones. But the idea of stinking for 2 years, if I'm a Dolphins fan, my response is oy. Or maybe a full oy vey. Maybe a gross. Something like that. Oh.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, no, that's... I feel bad for Brian Flores. I know I've said that more than once, but I do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brad just sent me two tweets, all in caps. I love these. Just joined your B-ball bracket. Love your show. He must be yelling, right? Because it's all caps. And then he sends me another one. Please forgive the uppercase. My typing skills are wanting. I don't know. You can yell love your show as much as you like. It's totally fine. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Alan says, I like the move Miami made. They were not going to win with Tannehill anyway. Heck, the Dolphins haven't had a franchise QB since Dan Marino, and that's the last time they went to the Super Bowl. So time to do something different. But then he says, Fitz is not the answer either. Well, that's the idea, is that Fitzpatrick is not the answer either. I don't know if you'd call this a lateral move, but it's certainly not a step up. If anything, and I don't really know. It just depends on which Fitzpatrick you get on the field. But you could say the same thing about Tannehill, only because of the inconsistencies with the injuries the last couple of years. But the only positive for the Dolphins is they're saving money. That's the only, in my opinion, the only clear positive about this move. Oscar says on Twitter, please don't tell me my fins aren't going to Tua. Please tell me there's some master plan we don't know about. Please tell me this is not going to be yet another year where the Finns play well enough to miss out on a top pick. Well, I can't tell you any of those things, actually. But I can tell you to try to plan for 2 years out, that's insane. The NFL comes at you really fast, and no team can plan for 2 years out. They plan for the here and now. They hope they get through an entire season with a full roster still standing. But think about the number of roster moves that are made in the course of a season. Forget two. And you can only control so much. You can't control everybody else around you. Let's quick talk to Dwayne, who's in Cleveland. So, Dwayne, you don't have a lot of time. You have 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good.
That's good. I like your show.
Thank you.
You got a really good show. I just wanted to say about the Browns. I like the moves they've made this year. The only thing that I see that they have to improve on is quit dropping passes and also the penalties. They've had so many, like last year, they had so many drop passes and penalties that have hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of that comes with experience.
Right, right. I just feel that John Dorsey's done a good job in getting the team the way he wants it, and I think they're going to have a good year this year and make the playoffs.
Well, I hope so. That would be great for the NFL to have this franchise competitive, plus the fan base is so passionate. It would be great. I would agree with you that John Dorsey has done a fantastic job. He's been very aggressive. We'll see how this offense comes together and how quickly they gel. But definitely to have the type of weapons that he has compiled around Baker Mayfield is a major step forward. And the defense started out really hot last year too. And I think mostly on the side of the defense, it's about just experience and more playing time together. A lot of good young guys over that side of the ball. Dwayne, thank you so much for your call in Cleveland. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. We're halfway through our selection show. Our Selection Sunday show. However, there's a lot of NFL that happened over the weekend as well. So it's good to talk a little football. Coming up next, Jerry Palm, his annual visit in studio. That's going to be fun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.